Kanye West has announced that he is launching a porn studio. What in the world happened to him after he announced that he had become a born-again Christian just a few years ago? And what is going on in the music industry in general with the outright blasphemy and sacrilege that we are seeing from so many artists these days, as well as what's going on with artists like P. Diddy and the sex trafficking charges? Oh my goodness. We are talking about all of this and more with our friend Jason Whitlock on today's episode of Relatable. All right, before we get started with Jason, I've just got a few things to announce. One, I've got some subscriber exclusive content for you guys that I'm super pumped about that we filmed a couple weeks ago that you guys are going to love. And what I'm about to announce is not even, it doesn't even scratch the surface of all of the stuff that is coming out for just Blaze TV subscribers. But this first iteration, or this first addition to my Blaze TV subscriber content, is a Q&A with some very juicy relationship questions answered. I had so much fun doing this. Again, this is only for Blaze TV Plus subscribers. If you go to blazetv.com/Allie, use code Allie, you'll get $20 off your subscription. So you don't only get access to everything that I'm putting out, but also all of the other hosts who have great, great content behind the paywall. And you subscribing helps us out because we just never know what's going to happen, especially in an election year with censorship, with getting knocked off these platforms like YouTube. And so if you subscribe to us, that makes sure that you are going to be able to find us no matter what happens with these big tech censors this year. So go to blazetv.com/Allie, use code Allie for $20 off your subscription for a limited time. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, I have this shirt on, which is super cute. In my mom era, it's comfort colors. I've got Relatable on the sleeve. And then on the back, it says in my mom era too. We've got matching onesies that say in my baby era. Okay. And I saw some people say, oh, that is giving a nod to Taylor Swift because of the Eras Tour. Okay. Let me defend myself there because I know we've got strong, strong feelings about Taylor Swift, as I saw earlier this week in the episode that we put out talking about some of her blasphemous lyrics and some of the comments that I received on YouTube. My goodness. Some people were saying, you know, how could you say that this is blasphemous and then also give a nod to her? All right. This whole like eras thing, saying in my blank era, was before Taylor Swift. Okay. I'm not saying that Taylor Swift like used that language or used that trend to name her tour. I don't really know. I know that she had the Eras Tour where she was going through all the different eras of her music. That is not what I am. That's not what I'm honoring. That's not what I'm giving a nod to. And you know how I know it existed before Taylor Swift? Because I was writing the book that I am about to release this fall, that I'm about to announce in just a couple weeks, back in 2022. And in the introduction to that, I say something along the lines of this person was in their blank era. I use that language. And that was far before Taylor Swift announced the name of her, tour. And so that means that that was part of like the cultural lexicon. That was, I think, some like Gen Z language that had been going on TikTok and social media for a while. So in my mom era predates Taylor Swift. All right. And so you can get the merch or not get the merch. I happen to think it's super cute and I like it, but it really has nothing to do with Taylor Swift. She just kind of popularized it. Another thing to say about the whole Taylor Swift thing, and I know some of you were angry. Some of you were angry with Bree's opinion about that. Some of you didn't think that I was harsh enough on it, and I really respect y'all's opinion. Y'all are always free to leave whatever you think in the comments. Now, I would love for you to be respectful. I would like for you to remember that we are human beings and that you can give your opinion and you can give it in a way that is kind. And actually, I am much more apt to listen to you and to read your comment if it is actually coherent and if it is respectful. But I just want to remind you, because I mean, of course, we have so much support and so much encouragement, and I'm so thankful for that. We would not be doing the show if we didn't have so many of you who watch so faithfully and pray for us and send me positive messages. And when I see you in person, just your incredible stories of how the show has impacted you or how you've connected to a guest on the show. It's just incredible. So I'm so thankful for that. But recently, I have been getting some negative comments or some negative messages, which is all part of what I do. I'm not angry about that, but that seem to communicate an unrealistic expectation and desire by some of you who think that your favorite commentators or hosts need to agree with you 100% of the time and need to get it right 100% of the time. And you expect, it seems like, me or maybe whoever you listen to cover every single nook and cranny of every single issue exactly as you would, or exactly as you expect or want us to, or in a way that is in total alignment with what you think about everything. Look, I am never going to be able to do that. I'm never going to be able to do that. I am going to fail to meet all of your expectations. I am going to fail at times to meet all of your standards. I am going to disagree with you. I'm going to say things not on purpose, but that just happen to offend you. I am going to say something that doesn't apply to you. I'm going to say something that you flat out hate and don't like. That's just going to happen because we are individuals. I am a finite, fallible human being who makes mistakes, who doesn't always get it right, but again, just sometimes doesn't see things the way that you do. You do not have to announce to me in a comment, a message, whatever it is, that, oh my gosh, she's completely lost everything. This podcast is just not what I thought it was, and I'm not going to listen, or I'm not going to watch anymore. I don't care about, she attacks this, or she blah, blah, blah. Just because we don't see eye to eye on something, or you don't like how I said something, it's not a blight on my entire character. It's okay if you want to stop watching or stop listening because of that. You don't have to announce your departure. You can if you want to. But I think that you also have in your mind that that means that everyone feels the same way that you do, and they just don't. Look, we've got to learn how to internet better than this. We just do. Not every piece of content that we consume is about us. It's not always existent to serve our feelings in any given moment. I am a human being, okay? And do not expect any commentator, anyone that you follow, to align with you 100% of the time. Take and leave what you will. And I know that the majority of you do. I have to do the same thing. I am also an internet user who follows people who is offended by some things that even people I really like say. And I have to work to decenter myself from everything that I read and see and watch. Only God is infallible, okay? Like, only his word should be fully trusted. Everyone else is just doing what they can, okay? So let's just remember to lower our standards and expectations just a little bit. And remember also that when someone disagrees with you, it's not an attack. All right? Let's just turn the temperature down and cool it just a little bit. And just remember, like, sometimes people are going to say something about Taylor Swift that you don't like. It's all right. It's okay. All that to say, if you do appreciate this podcast, then I would love for you to, of course, like and subscribe to this video. That helps us out a lot. But also, if you could leave us a positive review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, so many of you have already done that. Thank you so much. It means so much to us. But if you love this podcast, if it's meant anything to you, if you could leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, that would help us out a lot. And thank you so much. And I know sometimes it gets tiring with all these different announcements at the beginning. I really try not to do that every episode. But just a reminder, like, these things that I'm announcing, they're for you. They're for you. They're the merch that we announce, the subscriber content that we have. I'm not trying to dog you about anything. We create these things because we love and appreciate you. And we are trying to add as much value to you and your life as we possibly can as relatable team. So I just wanted to say all that at the start of this. Now we're going to get into our awesome episode, our awesome conversation with Jason Whitlock. But before we get into that, let me tell you about our first sponsor for the day, and that is Freedom Project Academy. A Freedom Project Academy is absolutely incredible. It's an alternative to the crazy left-wing indoctrination that you're seeing in public and even some private schools these days. It has perfected online learning. It offers live on-demand homeschool courses for students K through 12. Freedom Project Academy was built on Christian values and classical curriculum. Students read full books, write in cursive, study the full scope of history, graduate with knowledge years above their public school peers. Right now, you can save 10% on tuition when you enroll at freedomforschool.com. That's freedomforschool.com. freedomforschool.com. Jason, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. Lots that I want to get through today. Okay, first I want to hear your reaction to this insane story that I had to make sure was being reported correctly and it wasn't just like a rumor, which I guess it still kind of is. But Kanye West planning to launch Yeezy Porn Studio. This is according to Daily Mail. I also saw it on TMZ. The rap star hopes to add an adult entertainment branch to his Yeezy empire, possibly this summer. Okay, this is the same guy who a few years ago was stunning all of us with his gospel album, his conversion to Christ. I was personally very excited about this. I mean, what's your take on all this? I mean, I was excited about that. I was not excited about this announcement of Yeezy porn. Let me just clarify that. I was excited about the testimony originally. But what's your take on all this now?
Like you, I was bold and hopeful that Kanye he's in a wrestling match with fame, which is, in my view, the most powerful drug on the planet in America. Mm. And he's losing that wrestling match. And he's tried to fix it with God, and it has not worked. And it's a very disappointing story. And it's, you know, I had relatively high hopes for Kanye, and you know, saluted him in his battle with fame and battle with all the things that Hollywood pours into young people and trying to get that out. You have to pour so much good in. You have to pour so much Jesus in. And I thought that's what he was trying to do. But clearly he started pouring other things back in, and you could kind of see it with, he walks around with his wife half naked in public, and you could just the other thing. So he's lost that battle. I'll continue to pray for him and root for him, but I won't be sending any more of my expectations or resting any of my hopes in Kanye.
Right. So this is how the Daily Mail is reporting this. He previously expressed regret a few years ago. I remember this, that he had watched pornography so often over the years. He claimed that porn had, quote, destroyed his family. He even had a conversation with his staff at the time, who I think was working on the Jesus is King album, that, hey, I don't want you having premarital sex. I don't want you engaging in sexual immorality. That seemed like something that was really important to him at the time. And now he's obviously, as we said, announcing this adult entertainment branch to his Yeezy empire. He is said to be communicating with adult film producer Mike Maz, who used to be married to Stormy Daniels, in hopes that Mike will run his studio. Although Kanye has purportedly been considering entering the porn industry for some time, he is now said to be in serious negotiations to start a studio. Wednesday evening, Kanye posted the announcement from his official ex account. Ugh, this is very disturbing, Jason. Yeezy porn is coming. Very disturbing indeed. And I just see this, yes, as a battle with fame, absolutely. But to me, it's obvious that it's spiritual warfare here. I mean, we can't understand, we can't discern his heart and whether his, you know, what parts of his transformation a few years ago were sincere or just performative. But, I mean, the gospel was being proclaimed through his music, through some of his Sunday services. God was being worshiped. And Satan did not like that. That we know for sure. That we can say for sure. And as you said, it's just, it's really disheartening and scary. And I'm sad. I'm sad for him that he has now gotten to this place.
He's another story about the worship of money and worship of the world and being popular. And look, it's a narrow path for anyone to see the kingdom. And he's chosen the wide path. He wants to be popular. He wants to be powerful in the world. And you know, in order to win the battle he was trying to fight, he would have had to separate himself from the commercial music industry and all the demonic energy, energy that's within the music industry. He would have had to separate himself. And it's no different from the reasons I moved away from Los Angeles and moved to Nashville. You know, I just could not accomplish the things that I wanted to accomplish personally and spiritually in Los Angeles. And so I had to move to safer territory and a place where, you know, it's my thoughts, my worldview isn't so foreign. Kanye hasn't taken any of those steps. And so we shouldn't be all that surprised that he has fallen.
Yeah. You know, I know a lot of people at the time were very loudly skeptical about his announcement that he had become a Christian and his Sunday services. And yes, even within that time, he said some things, did some things that I didn't agree with. For example, I'm not a fan of Joel Osteen. He had kind of hoisted up Joel Osteen and said some things that kind of made me scratch my head. But I was still excited about it. I was still excited that someone like Kanye West would release an album called Jesus is King. And I would say that the theology in some of those songs like was really solid. And so I don't know. I don't regret being excited about that at the time. I don't regret talking about it and cheering it on. I think, I don't know, Christians are sometimes when someone like that publicly changes their ways or seems to change their ways, they're too quick to be loudly skeptical and critical of that. Don't you think that there is some kind of balance between, okay, being discerning and being cautious and also just being outright like the older brother in the prodigal son story?
Listen, I'm not going to apologize for being excited and hopeful for Kanye West, because that excitement and hope is built around, like, there's, Ali, I'm much older than you, but so I can tell you that the whole make America great again, America used to be better than this. The culture used to be more supportive of a biblical worldview. And so when I saw Kanye, Jesus is King, and just professing a faith and a belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I was like, oh man, maybe this will help the culture return to a tiny bit more supportive of those of us with biblical values, because I think that's important for young people. You know, when I stepped out as a 12-year-old kid or a 14-year-old kid into the world as a Christian, I wasn't met with the level of hostility that I think Christians are now, that, you know, our beliefs just weren't mocked the way they're mocked now. And I'm not going to apologize for wanting to see some of that reversed and thinking that, oh, man, if Kanye makes it cool for kids to profess their Christian faith, you know, maybe we'll see one or two or 3,000 less drag queens at schools or wherever. And so I'm not embarrassed that he's fallen. Hey, I may fall. Any of us may fall, but I'm actually glad that he at least attempted and is attempting to get in the fight. Now, obviously, at this point with the porn deal, it's so clear that he loves money and he regrets the money he lost in his feud with Adidas, and so he's willing to do anything to make money, including porn. That's disappointing. And, you know, I will not be really taking Kanye serious or talking about him publicly. Again, I'll be more skeptical the next time he says, I'm really doing it this time. But apologies or embarrassed because I was supportive and hopeful? Nah, Right. You know, I'm hoping people are, you know, praying for me and hoping that, you know, I continue to win my fights.
Mm-hmm. 1 Timothy 6:10 comes to mind as you're talking about this love of money. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. And that is, as you said, the love of money, whether it manifests itself in someone's life as pursuing the porn industry, or whether it's greed, or whether it's gambling, or whether it's just making shady business deals. The love of money is a temptation for everyone to lead us into all kinds of sin and temptation. And I think that's part of why Jesus tells this radical message, do not worry, do not fear, do not be anxious. If you look at the lilies of the field, they're dressed perfectly. They never want for anything. They never wish for anything. They're never worried about anything. And Jesus tells us to have as much contentment as that, knowing that the Father is going to take care of us. That's a difficult message in this materialistic day and age. And I would say someone like Kanye, who has tasted that wealth, it's really difficult to resist, but it's tough for any of us, don't you think?
It's extremely difficult. Kanye clearly has a God complex. He calls himself Jesus. I think, again, he in recent days, he's called himself a God again. When a man or woman comes into great financial wealth, the way this world is rigged, it can trigger you to think that you're a God. Now, you would never say it to yourself like Kanye has or said it out loud, but it can trigger a mindset. You know, someone like me whose dad didn't graduate high school and mom was a career factory worker, and I come from a modest background. And so I can remember in 1994, you know, at the age of 27, I think I started making $125,000 a year. And I didn't think anybody could tell me anything. And I was in position where I was able to do things for my mother and family. And I can remember my ego just getting completely out of control. And you feel like, well, you know what? I got enough money to solve all of my problems. And then as things escalated and I really started making money, that mindset really took over and God had to humble me. Say, no, brother, you definitely ain't me, you know. And Kanye will all get humbled at some point. When Kanye's humility comes, who knows? It may not come until the very end. But I can understand, there's such a perfectness to God's plan. And there's a reason why to take someone like me who's not been married, and that's a mistake. And I talk about how what a foolish mindset I had when I was younger. But like, if you are given great wealth, you need a wife and many kids so that you don't have just all of this discretionary income and no system of checks and balances. A wife that will, hey, baby, what are you doing with that money? You know, we got kids to put through college and things like that. You need that balance. And so Kanye's life, now he's married again, but again, he's not, I don't know if they're equally yoked and, you know, he's not in a traditional marriage clearly. And, you know, he, you know, someone like Kanye should probably have a wife and 15 kids and he'd know what to do with his money and he'd have a real purpose for it rather than, hey, let me build a studio for porn and the exploitation of women. But his life's out of balance, and many of our lives are out of balance in similar ways. It's not as public.
You're so right about God's plan just being perfect and being good for us. I mean, in this day and age, and this has probably been true throughout history. Actually, you could argue that it's been true since the garden, like viewing God's rules as something that's trying to dampen our happiness or to hurt us in some way. But when you look at, for example, the institution of marriage that God created in Genesis, you see that it is protective for everyone. It's protective for women who are most vulnerable to abuse. It's protective for children who are most vulnerable to abandonment and vulnerable because they are just mentally and physically weak. And then it's protective for men who have you know, more aggression and sexual drive and testosterone that would push them outside of, you know, the power that the Holy Spirit gives to sow their wild oats and to channel their aggression in very unhealthy ways. And yet this institution of marriage and monogamy and a man and a woman becoming one flesh, raising children together, raising a home together, building a life together, that is what changes behavior and protects men from themselves, protects women from predatory men, protects children from predatory adults. And so it really is. God's plans really are so perfect. And when you go outside of that, and we live in a fallen world, not everyone is going to be able to get married, but you do see the consequences of that, especially when we don't prize those things as a society in general.
No question about it. And you know, in retrospect, you know, particularly someone like myself who lived in Los Angeles for 10 years, was involved in corporate TV for as long as I was, and had access to and were around a lot of celebrities. Kanye's fall is actually very predictable and probably expected. He's, you know, been famous for so long, been in love with money. If you listen to a lot of his music, there's the worship of money and showing off your wealth and all that stuff within the music. And again, he's pouring so much poison into his soul that it's really hard to flush all that out. And as someone who grew up a rap music fan and has since deleted all rap music from my Apple playlist and Apple library or whatever, and now I just pour gospel music in, just trying to flush out, because music is just so important and people don't understand it. I how it changes your soul, changes your mindset, leaves such an indelible imprint that there's nothing else that can make you recall memories from 20, 15 years ago like music. It's such a powerful tool, and unfortunately, it feels like Satan has control of that tool.
Yeah, I want to talk more about that. And obviously, there are problems with rap. There are problems with all genres of secular music, which is what I want to discuss. But you're not really allowed to say, which you are really good at saying things that you're not allowed to say, but you're not allowed to say that maybe a genre of music that is constantly glorifying and commercializing murder, drugs, any, you know, form of promiscuity and delinquency, all forms of premarital sex, violence, entitlement, greed, money. Like, you're not allowed to say that maybe that has a negative impact on the people listening to it. Maybe it negatively has influenced a particular culture in the United States. You're supposed to just say, no, this is just an equally beautiful form of art as Beethoven or Bach or anything else. It's just as edifying, just as encouraging as any other form of music. Like, you're just not allowed to say, in the same way that some, I don't know, I guess maybe like white women would say, oh, there's nothing wrong with Taylor Swift being blasphemous in her music. It's just music. It's not a big deal. It's not doing anything in my mind or life. And I think you're right. I think that's how Satan actually tricks us. We just see music and entertainment as totally neutral and having no effect on our mind or lives or families or culture.
It's a very silly point of view that somehow we could pour those thoughts into our head, learn the lyrics to that, be able to repeat the lyrics to that, have young children repeat the lyrics to this stuff, and oh, but it has no impact. And people want to say, well, it's just like a movie. It's a fantasy. And well, no, it's not like a movie, because you can't repeat all the words in a movie. You may be able to repeat a scene or two, but a movie just doesn't leave the kind of imprint on you that music does.
Yeah.
And we have to accept that. And so there's a very nuanced conversation that we can't have about music, and particularly rap music. And it's a lot like, and correct me, I'm pretty sure, Ali, don't you consistently point out, like, pit bulls, just attack someone. Maybe there's something unique about pit bulls.
Maybe. And, I don't know.
And that's what I say about this music. Rap music. And rappers, they get killed a lot. I wonder if that's connected. There's all these other musicians. There's all these other celebrities. And they don't get shot and killed the way rappers do. I wonder if the music has something to do with that.
Okay, quick pause to tell you about our next sponsor, and that is Practice Makes Parent. This is a podcast that is by Focus on the Family. If you're like me, you listen to Focus on the Family, their radio programs in the car growing up, maybe on the way to school or on the way home from school. And I'm sure without even knowing it, it made a big impact on me and what I thought about God and what he says about the family. And they are still doing amazing work. They've done this for 40 years, so they really are experts when it comes to family life and godly parenting. So this new podcast that they have, it comes out every Wednesday. It's hosted by Rebecca St. James, the Australian-American Christian pop rock sensation. Also, Dr. Danny Huerta, the brain behind Focus on the Family's parenting and youth initiatives. And it's called Practice Makes Parent. They go through all of the different issues that parents face on a daily basis and talks about how to work through these things in a godly way. So go to the Practice Makes Parent page wherever you get your podcast. Go ahead and subscribe. You can listen every Wednesday. That's Practice Makes Parent wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, what is your take? Speaking of rap and hip hop, I didn't even plan to talk about this, but we haven't talked about it on this show. Everything that's happening with P. Diddy right now. I know it's a big subject and a big topic.
Well, I will say this to your audience. I did two and a half hour shows just on Diddy.
Okay. So people can go and listen to those for your full analysis. So basically he's being caught, what? It's sex trafficking allegations, right?
Sex trafficking, sexual exploitation, compromising information on people. He had cameras all throughout his house. But where I really went, and it'll be hard to unpack in just a small segment here, but I tried to get people to understand, like, that rap music is part of a movement to make our culture globally more nihilistic. If you listen to the music, they're trying to remove us from moral and godly and faith-based principles. And if you look at it's happening in movies, it's happening in everything, but rap music is one of the leaders of this. And so part of what I unpacked is, like, hey, look, the same people that own the most stock in BET, MTV, all the major music labels, they also own the most stock in the private prison industry. And so there's part of it is just like, hey, let's feed the beast. Let's make more need for private prisons, and let's criminalize the culture and mentality of Americans so that they get fed into this system. But and so there's that financial element. But the real thing, the globalists, the people that think the planet is overpopulated, the people that are trying to bait us into a world war so that they can reduce the population. They want us to have a nihilistic mentality where we don't care about life. Our life has no purpose. We're removed from religious faith and moral principles. And that's how you get people in a mindset. Now, try to connect all the dots of, like, hey, you know what? I'm inconvenienced by this baby that I carry in my womb. I'm just going to kill it. That's a nihilistic mentality that's supported by music and movies and this whole culture they're promoting. You know, how did we get here where we go from what they call it? Safe, rare, and
safe, something legal, else and rare.
Yeah, safe, legal, and rare to I'm out in the streets convulsing. How dare someone say I can't kill my baby? And I've had 16 abortions. How did we get there? We created a nihilistic culture, and the music, particularly rap music, has been a big part of that.
Yep. And so were you surprised at all to see this coming out about P. Diddy and some of the other rappers involved?
No. The it's been my argument throughout all of Hollywood, throughout all of corporate TV, movies, that sexual exploitation and sexual depravity is at the root of all of it. You can't move up in that industry without getting further and further and further into their sexual depravity. Mm. So it's a rite of passage. And so, you know, people are very uncomfortable when I say this, but they know, and particularly in rap music, it's a lower form of music. It doesn't, these rappers, there's a handful that actually have talent, but there's a most of them, they don't really have talent. You'll never convince me Sexy Red or Cardi B and some of these guy rappers, they don't have any talent. They put a beat underneath them and they say a nursery school rhyme that's written by a pornographer and they call it music. And they always pick out the same group of desperate people that sat in the back of your high school class and either didn't graduate or barely graduated, tatted themselves up. They're not fit for any other type of work. But will they take a payoff to promote this type of music and a life of fame and fortune and just untold amounts of money? Yes. And so they get idiots to get involved and promote the music and become stars. And then on the promise, now you do have to participate in some sexual depravity, and people without options who are all tatted up, they're not, it's like, well, I can either be a dentist or I can be a rapper. That's not their choice. It's either I can go to jail or I can take this sexual deal that Diddy and the other people at the top of the music industry are promoting. And I get to be famous, and I get to run around like I'm Jay-Z, or I get to be Jay-Z. They take that deal. They're desperate. They have no choice. And so I've been arguing that for a long time. That's where the kind of rubber met the road with me in terms of corporate TV, that there was a level that I just, like, because of the way I was raised and because of the seeds that were planted in me, was like, I can't do this. And so I'm going to quit. Mm-hmm. And if that's the price of going to the next level where I have to violate my morality, I'm just not going to do that. Right. Most of these people don't do that. I felt like, well, I got other options. I can write. I can start my own business. I can survive. I've been smart with my money. But, you know, these guys, Lil Wayne, you know, with all them tats all over his face, what's he going to be, a school teacher next week? What? Well, maybe now in this new right. Now, but no, I'm not surprised with the Diddy thing, and I've been trying to open people's minds to this for a long time.
Yeah, you had tweeted or you had retweeted someone who tweeted hip hop. It was like a video of a kid, and I've seen these multiple times now of kids either. Literally, it's so disturbing to even say, like, twerking to rap music while their parents are, like, filming, throwing dollar bills. We're talking little kids or kids being used in these rap music videos, talking about killing people, talking about sex. Or there's just these videos of parents thinking that their kids are cute, rapping about the most degenerate, just trash that you've ever heard. And there was this one tweet about that saying hip hop music is raising the next generation of Black youth more than their parents. That's why it's so important to bring back the sixth element, which is conscious. I don't know what that means. This is disgusting, SMH. I'm not sure exactly what that person means, but you said commercial rap is indefensible. It's poison. And just, I mean, the idea of purposely injecting that poison into children and then using them to make money on social media. I mean, it is so demonic and awful.
I'm going to go back to nihilism. And nihilism at the heart of the destruction of family. And so you have a family system throughout America that's being destroyed, but it's most acute among Black Americans. Our family structures have been destroyed. That means our kids are incredibly vulnerable when you don't have two parents supervising a child, that they're more prone to be sexually preyed upon because they're less supervised. And this is all by design. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know, oh, let's take one of the supervisors that God intended to be over this child. Let's remove them from the family structure. And that's done so they can get to the children. They want children vulnerable. And that's why you will continue to hear more and more and more stories about the awful things that are going on with our kids. Why are they suicidal more so than at any time? Because there are parents that are together, that are out chasing money and career and neglecting their children. And we keep wondering why, if we look out on these college campuses today, Allie, and they're protesting and they're angry about things they really don't understand, those are kids that didn't get enough attention in the home. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get the attention you want, what do young people do? They act out to get attention. That's what we're seeing. We have neglected children because again, this nihilistic mentality that money will solve everything, not love and not the proper nurturing and development of our children. Leave your children out vulnerable so that these demonic, wicked, Satan-ruled people can have more access to your children so that you don't teach them about gender and sex. Leave it to the blue-haired teacher at school to teach them that. And you run off and sit in the cubicle and make as much money as you can, and we'll tell your kids what to think. It's all just very nihilistic. It's all, just, you know, the Bible is filled with so much common sense and wisdom that stands the test of time, and to watch us all rebel from it and think there are no catastrophic consequences is... what an incredible story we're witnessing. It's a sad, tragic story, but we're witnessing it.
All right, another pause to tell you about our next sponsor, and that is Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They've been a big supporter of the show. I'm so thankful for that. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you are sending the message that you support things like free speech, religious freedoms, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, our military, veterans, first responders, because that's who Patriot Mobile supports. These are the issues that Patriot Mobile supports. Unfortunately, some of these other companies, they are donating your dollars to politicians, to causes that are diametrically opposed to the things that we believe in. You don't have to worry about that with Patriot Mobile Plus. Their customer service is just incredible. It's a 100% US-based customer service team, and they make switching so easy. So when you go to patriotmobile.com/Allie, they'll make that switch easy. You'll get free activation, a discount, all that good stuff. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Allie. What do you think about in the music industry now? It's not just the demonic stuff of talking about sexual exploitation and all of that. And of course, that's true across all genres. Of course, sexual promiscuity has been a theme in secular music in, you know, a variety of ways. Maybe in country music, it was more like innuendo. And then in pop music, innuendo, maybe a little bit more explicit, but less explicit than rap. But the theme has been there for a long time. But now it's not just that. It's not just like the subliminal messaging. I mean, you've got outright blasphemy. We've got Kendrick Lamar, for example. He, I guess in one of his concerts recently, I saw on Twitter, you had retweeted this. He is rapping as Jesus. I mean, it's hard for me to even look at this image. We've got Kendrick Lamar. He's got what looks like a crown of thorns, fake blood dripping down his face, showing himself as Jesus. And then you've got as you said, Kanye West, the whole Yeezus thing. But then we've even got Taylor Swift. She might not be going this far, but in her recent album, like, she has a lot of lyrics where she is comparing herself to Christ, where she is putting herself in the place of God, saying, I can save this person. God can't save this person. I can save this person. Roll the stone away. They're going to crucify me anyway. Lots of very sacrilegious themes. We see this with Billie Eilish. We even see this with Justin Timberlake. Justin Timberlake has a new song out where there's just, it's just mocking of Christianity outright. It's like they're testing God to do something. Lil Nas X, he had that music video celebrating Satan not that long ago. I mean, what do you make of this? Like, do you think that it's just like, oh, this is just the theme, this is just the trend, this is just what makes the money right now, they'll get over this trend and move on to something else? Or do you think there is something, a profound spiritual shift going on right now?
I think that, take the rapper Ice Cube, who was at the onset of gangster rap music, but he sat down with Bill Maher in the last 2 to 3 months and acknowledged, like, hey, man, this music industry thing, it's out of control. The songs that we're putting out, the artists are being manipulated and bribed and pushed into making that kind of music. And so I'm not defending any of the artists, but it's like a price of admission. Hey, you know, you're going to put out an album and it's going to be 12, 13 songs, but we really need this song on the album. And so Justin Timberlake or whomever is sitting there, Taylor Swift, there's Lil Nas X, any of them, they're all just sitting there and they're just like, I can accept this huge check and put this one song that I kind of disagree with on the album, but the rest of the album is going to be, and they just make those compromise decisions. And so, look, they're dressing up. Sam Smith, they dress up in like satanic gear, all red and horns, and they, Ice, what's it called? Ice Spice, is that her name? Or Posh Spice?
I think it is Ice Spice or something. I don't know.
Yeah. She's sitting with Taylor Swift, I think, at the Super Bowl, and clear as day doing satanic hand signals.
Yes. That is real. And that gave me the chills. I'm not someone who looks for satanic symbolism and everything, because I'm like, I don't need the symbolism to know that Satan is real. He's the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2 says. Like, I understand. But I saw that, and I was like, that, I mean, it sent a chill up my spine, actually, seeing her do the satanic hand symbols at the Super Bowl. It's freaky.
And it just, if Ice Spice or whoever her name is, if she had some sort of unbelievable Michael Jackson type singing ability, or whoever you think the greatest singer is, I'd halfway get it. But she's a rapper that raps very simplistic stuff. I'm like, so who decided to platform her? Who decided to elevate her? Who decided Sexy Red gets to, and like Sexy Red doing songs like Pound Town and this other stuff, and schools are inviting her to speak to their kids? This stuff is crazy. Yeah, this stuff is crazy. And so it has to be intentional. Someone has to be paying for this,
right,
and asking for this. And that, again, I'll ask people to go watch the two shows I did on Diddy. It's about five and a half hours of content, and it's a big, larger connecting, yes, of the dots explanation.
Yes. Okay, a couple more things that I want to talk to you about before we get to the last question that I have. I do want to, it's just the right transition to talk about the roll call event that you guys have coming up, because we're talking about all of this, and I just think about how difficult it is to be a young man, or just a man in general, like, and especially a Christian man. Of course, as a woman, as a mom, like, I also see how it's really difficult in different ways to be a Christian woman right now. You've got men who think that they're women infiltrating our spaces. We've got the elevation of people like Andrew Tate, just a very confusing moral landscape right now that I think negatively impacts both men and women. But man, if you're a Christian guy, you're trying to be porn free, you're trying to be faithful in your marriage, you're trying to be a good dad, you're trying to be strong and masculine and stand up, defend your community, it's tough. You've got almost no one to look up to in popular culture, definitely not in the political world. The entertainers that maybe you once admired at one point, they're, you know, complete sellouts. But then within the church, a lot of times you find the male role models and pastors completely effeminate. And so that's why I think that your event is so important. So just talk about it, invite people to it, tell us why you're doing it.
And so obviously your audience is probably predominantly women.
But we got a lot of related bros out there too.
Great. But we also have women that need their husbands or boyfriends inspired. And I think that's what we're going to do. And what we did it last year, this is Roll Call 2.0. And we've taken it to the next level. And it's all about pouring positive energy to flush out all that negative that we're filled up with. And music is a big part of it. Last year, I was kind of the front-facing solo person of the deal. And we had good speakers and we had good entertainment. But I've since now partnered with John Rich, the country music singer. John's dad was a minister. John has a deep faith. We've become friends since I've lived here in Nashville. And so, like, the goal of this is we're going to turn this into a great music and food and speaking festival where we center Jesus Christ and worship him and encourage men to live up to their biblical responsibilities. And so the guys that participated last year loved it. It's going to be even better this year. We upgraded the speakers. Glenn Beck's coming in and going to talk about sacrifice, because the theme for this year is that growth requires sacrifice. And so what a lot of us as men have forgotten, and we've forgotten as a culture, the things that we loved about America, we sacrificed to have those things. Men did, not us. We just have benefited from those sacrifices. But if there weren't men and women willing to sacrifice, lay their lives down, we wouldn't have these things. And so it's kind of, the theme this year is just kind of reminding us as men that the things that we want, we have to be willing to make sacrifices for. Yeah. And so if we want a more righteous society, if we want our politicians to support the values we say we believe in, we have to individually be more righteous. Because the politicians, whether we like it or not, they reflect us. We are broken and corrupt. And so when we look out and see Joe Biden, an alleged Catholic supporting abortion, that's a reflection of us. We're hypocrites. We'll say one thing and do something completely else. Hmm. And so I just want to remind, we're going to remind men, like, hey, look, the growth, the progress, the return of spiritual values, we have to be willing to sacrifice for them. And so I just couldn't tell people any more strongly between, you know, Mark Robinson, who's running for governor in North Carolina, big, bold speaker, Pastor E.W. Jackson, if you've never heard him speak, man, this guy is amazing. Then by the time you throw in the entertainment with John Rich and Jeffrey Steele, and others, it's a great event. Want you to go to fearlessarmyrollcall.com, fearlessarmyrollcall.com, sign up. We got some great VIP events.
Yes.
On Friday and Saturday. But it's fun, and we're going to pour Jesus into you and flush out some of Satan and send you back home a better man.
Awesome. Yes, I'm so excited. I know that the event was awesome last year. It's going to be even better this year. All right, we got a few more minutes left. Jason, I want to talk to you about repealing the 19th Amendment, which you have talked about recently and said that you were convinced by none other than Pearl Davis that we need to repeal the 19th. So I want to hear what's your thought behind that? And repeal the 19th, for people who don't know, that would be repealing a woman's right to vote.
And so people caught the headline that I said, hey, maybe we should repeal the 19th Amendment. What I also said is Jason Whitlock should not vote either. I think the vote should be about families. And I think if we want a culture and a system that favors families, we have to empower families. Mm. And so if you really understand the history of the vote, it was intended to man voted, he represented his family. Mm. And everybody back then, I say everybody, but I'm generalizing, they were married back then. And so they became one flesh. And so I don't care who votes in your family, Allie, you or your husband. Y'all can decide that. But only families should vote. The world, our system should not favor single men with no kids or single women with no kids or just single people in general. We should have a system that favors the family and incentivizes people. There are rewards for entering into a marriage, and marriage is between a man and a woman. Entering into a marriage, there should be rewards for that. And the society should actually favor you, even at my expense. And so that is that the vote should be about the family, and that when we used to have a system where women didn't vote, it was because it was out of a tradition, I believe, of like, hey, the vote represented the family, the husband, the leader of the family, so he did the voting, and I'm good with that. So if I don't vote and other single people don't vote, I think we'd actually see an improved country, because all the politicians would be figuring out, well, man, how can I make Allie Beth and her husband happy?
All right, last sponsor for the day is My Patriot Supply. It's a crazy year, y'all. We just don't know what's going to happen. There's no way that we could have predicted something like COVID. I mean, it threw everything for a loop. Hopefully nothing like that happens again. But again, with just an election year, you never know. It's better to be safe than sorry when it comes to your food supply, with the supply chain issues that we have, messing with agriculture. I mean, we just want to make sure that our family, at least for a period of time, has an emergency food supply that they can rely on. That's why you got to go to preparewithallie.com, get a 4-week emergency food kit for everyone in your family. It'll just give you peace of mind and security knowing that you have that. These food kits are good for 25 years in storage. Hopefully you'll never have to use them, but if you do, they're good for 25 years. Go to preparewithallie.com. You get you save $50 per kit. That's a really great deal. Save $50 per kit at preparewithallie.com. So your argument is more against the like hyper individualistic kind of movement trend that we have gone into, rather than what I've heard from other people, that while we shouldn't allow women to vote because then they tend to vote Democrat, and that has coincided with, you know, bad things happening. Because I've heard that, and I don't know, those people just don't seem brave enough to say, if that is your logic behind women not voting, well, then Black people shouldn't vote, because 92% of Black Americans, 92% of Black Americans vote Democrat and have for a really long time. And so it's like, I don't know, that just doesn't seem to be the right logic. If you're only going to apply it to women and not apply it to other demographics that also tend to vote for what I think are destructive policies. So I understand that anti-individualistic argument that you made more than I understand, well, people who tend to vote Democrat just shouldn't have the right to vote. Yeah. You're saying that people who have more of a vested interest in the future, because they are families, because they have children, that those people should carry more political power than the individual who doesn't have that same vested interest in the future of our country.
in general, married people are smarter, more sharing, more mature, just they have to think about more than just themselves. And they have to think about, well, man, what am I leaving my kids? And so that's going to make them a more informed and a more move away from your feelings voter. And all of this individual stuff, whether man or woman, that's when feelings start creeping in. And so feelings driving decisions as important as public policies, it's a horrible mistake. And we've seen that, because look at the insanity we've invited in. Oh, you know what? I'm a boy, I'm a man, but I feel like a woman. So I want you all to treat me like a woman. We can't have a world that runs on feelings. It leads to chaos. And we need it based on logic and reason and like what's best for the people that are coming behind me. And that's what parents have to think about all the time. And so I care, but not nearly as much as people think about the Democrat-Republican thing. All these politicians are corrupt. They're serving their own self-interest. I don't think Republicans can fix deep-rooted spiritual problems that we have. Only you can't solve spiritual problems with political solutions. And one of the, and I just had this conversation yesterday with the minister to come on my show on Wednesdays, but one of the greatest tests of faith, one of the greatest rites of passage for faith, one of the things that improves people's faith the most is marriage. And so when people are going through that rite of passage of marriage and they learn in their eye, the scales really come off their eyes, because they have to step into their wife's shoes, they have to step into their kids' shoes, they have to step into their grandparents and all these other shoes. These people are so wise. I would be fine with them deciding what's best for all of us, rather than a group of individuals saying, Jason Whitlock likes ice cream, and so we should have a tax or some kind of discount on ice cream. Because I like that.
Yeah, I totally see what you're saying. I mean, I think we would both agree, like, the problem is so much deeper and so multifaceted. I absolutely agree with you that we should be doing everything that we can to incentivize the formation of steady marriages, marriage between a man and a woman and children, and that there should be incentives for that. Absolutely. I don't think that we are in a place where that is even, like, where moving in a different direction is even feasible. It's just we are so hyper individualistic, and we've got so many issues. But where, so I don't know. I have to think about it more. I don't know if I'm fully on board with what you're saying, but I do agree that there should be a structure in place, absolutely, to do everything that we can to incentivize marriage and to incentivize those strong families. And so I'm glad that you explained it, because I think a lot of people were running with that headline. Go ahead.
It's not just incentivize. I want to empower married people, because they've been disempowered. Firstly, everything that the government comes up with is how can we make it easier on the irresponsible? And I'm just, married people, if they had the power, they just wouldn't allow that.
Right.
And so I believe in miracles. I really do. And you're right. Like, in this environment, how could you ever get that? But it's going to take a miracle to fix how far we've fallen. So one of the miracles I'm praying for is take away my right to vote. Take away all these individual rights to vote.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go back. It used to exist. We used to, one man, he had to own a little property or land or whatever. He represented the family. And again, in this day and age, I'd be like, okay, Allie, you and your husband, y'all can decide who votes. But You know, there's a vote for family. And then I'd probably even give a little extra voting power to married couples with kids. Every time you got another kid, you probably get a little bit, 1 1/4 vote, 1 1/2 vote, 1.7. And the next thing you know, you got enough kids, you got 2 votes.
Yeah.
Let them decide.
I mean, it is absolutely possible for it to be too easy to vote in a country. And it is too easy to vote in the United States. I mean, you don't even have to be a citizen in all cases. Like in some local elections in some states, you don't even have to be a citizen. And so you have representation without taxation in some cases, which is absolutely ridiculous. We have some of the loosest and craziest laws when it comes to voting. And the very people who say that they care about democracy are the people who say that protecting democracy means absolutely anyone can vote no matter what. Even if you believe in a pure democracy, that's not what democracy means. In order to protect democracy, you have to protect citizenship. And of course, we live in a representative democracy, which isn't a pure democracy, which is even further reason to try to protect it. I mean, I know you're not allowed to have any sort of like test that someone has to pass in order to vote, but it seems to me like it would make sense that you should have to be able to pass a basic civics test, like a high school civics test, in order to vote. If you don't know anything about your country, how many states there are, who the president is of the United States, if you have no vested interest, like you said, property owning whatsoever, like, I don't know. I think that there should be parameters, and we can have a debate and discussion about what those parameters should be. But people who actually care about freedom and fair representation should also care about the parameters surrounding that representation. So I guess we'll end on that. That's an ongoing debate. And I agree with you that there are miracles that have to be done in order to preserve our country and to preserve the family. So thank you for the work that you're doing to help do that. Again, fearlessarmyrollcall.com. Everyone go out, check out Jason's show, especially those P. Diddy episodes, if you want to deep dive on all of that. Anything else you want to say, Jason?
Thank you so much for having me, Allie. I've already endorsed your pit bull argument. Allie, you're awesome. And thanks. I'm honored to be on your show. You know, you and Lauren Chin inspire me every day. And it's what, you know, people think I'm sexist. I'm not. there's just certain women that I want everybody to be like you. If they were, I'd never complain.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks. I appreciate it. Well, have a great show today and have a great rest of your week.
Thank you.